on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan. So I'm calling this meeting to order at 6:30 p.m. Today's date is September 22nd, 2020. And if I can have everybody please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, everybody. Please be seated. Mr. Morgan, roll call, please.
Councilmember Leary.
Here.
Councilmember Springer. Councilmember Springer. Councilmember DeWitt.
I'm here.
Councilmember Diment.
Here.
Councilmember Franco.
Present.
Vice Mayor Hansen.
Here.
Mayor Barr.
Present.
All right, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan. I know I talked to Mr. Springer prior to this meeting. He may be a little late. I wasn't anticipating him to be late, but I did talk to him just earlier. So item number four, we're moving on, and that's people to be heard. And Ms. Morgan, can I have the list, please? I know we have John Cochran first on the, first to go. And John, if you can spell your first name, your last name, state your name, and you'll have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My name is John Cochran, J-O-N-C-O-C-H-R-A-N-E. And I'm dialing in support, obviously, of the ordinance for the city to transfer the old senior center over to the Bethel Winter House. You know, we opened up for our seventh season last night to 13 guests. I know, sure, a lot of you are starting to feel a little bit of the crisp in the air. It's starting to get cold, and this is the earliest we've ever been able to open. And just to see the amount of need out there is incredible, especially during the time of this pandemic. You know, what started out as a dream of a shelter that we could just stop people from dying on the street has kind of morphed into looking for more of a permanent solution to this problem and giving these people a safe place to sleep, healthy meals, a place to bathe, a place to change out masks, and really a sort of a baseline to start trying to come back from. We really appreciate the hard work of city administration, who has worked really tirelessly with us on this effort in trying to make this a success. We've been able to go out and raise a lot of funds to be able to make this a potential reality. And we're just excited for the future and for our partnership with the city of Bethel should this go forward. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Cochran.
Mr. Mayor, it's Hugh.
Mr. Diamond, please.
Yeah, I'm wondering if Mr. Cochran is going to be still online when we hit that item in the agenda, because I've got some questions for him.
Mr. Mayor, yes, it is my intent to stay online through that item on the agenda.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Cochran, Mr. Diamond. And next on people to be heard is Miss Eileen Arnold. Eileen, if you can again spell your name and state your name, and you'll have 5 minutes.
My name's Eileen Arnold, E-I-L-E-E-N-A-R-N-O-L-D. I, first of all, wanted to throw a quick thanks out to ONC. They brought a number of really fancy new masks over for our staff and our residents today. The work that we do here at TWC is, I mean, very face-to-face, very, you know, advocacy and emotional support. It's not helpful to wear a mask that obscures your face. And these ones are very funky and fun, and it shows the whole face, which is nice with the work that we're trying to do. Also a bunch of hand sanitizer, and that's really important because we're not going to stop our work here, but we need to be safe. And it's certainly, those are hot commodities and difficult to get. So just want to thank ONC for that. I also wanted to express my support for the sale of the building to the Winter House. The Winter House has come so far in such a short amount of time with such excellent community support and interagency support. This is everything that the Housing Coalition wanted, and it's going to be a good thing for the community. And the final thing that I wanted to mention is I just wanted to say you guys should have received a report from our agency about the individual grants for assistance for people who have been financially impacted by COVID. The report that you had was current up until September 14th, and I thought you might be interested to know as of right now. I think the report you saw, we had spent $85,000, but now I think like less than 10 days later, we spent $110,000. And I don't think that number is even reflective of the past 2 days of checks that I've been signing. About every day, I'm signing like 2 to 3 checks for individual grant assistance. So I just wanted to say again, thank you for making that possible and also for so quickly increasing that amount when it was obvious that we were going to spend much, much quicker than anybody thought. I know that that's an item on the agenda, and I'll be on the phone throughout the meeting as well. So if there are questions about that, I'll stick around.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold, and thank you for your work with TWC. It's greatly appreciated. Is there anybody else online for people to be heard?
Right here.
Okay, and who is right here?
This is Susan Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R.
Hey, Sue, go ahead. You'll have 5 minutes.
Yeah, thank you. I came up to a locked door, so I want to thank Michelle for giving me the number to call in. I want to put in a push for the census. We got like a little more than a week left, and then that's it. And I'm kind of disappointed that I haven't seen it promoted that much through the city avenues. I see AVCP and it's been putting an ad in it each week in the Delta Discovery, and I hear KYUK doing commercials. But this is so very, very important. When a person is not counted, it's costing way more than whatever the PFD amounts could or would be. You know, people want to argue about the PFD amounts. Well, this is federal funding for the next 10 years. For our airports, our schools, our healthcare, our roads. And I just can't push it enough. And in the Delta Discovery, it has the phone number to call, 1-844-330-2020. And also there's a website, my2020census.gov. And I just can't stress it enough that everybody should be counted. It's so important for grants and a federal representation and federal funding. And that's less than 5 minutes for me to stress that. I did get a couple people ask me about the Friday produce giveaways. It's a big if now. There's a grant dispute of sorts. So it's an if. And as soon as I know if we're going to resume it again, well, I'll let people know when, okay, when it starts. It will be Friday at 4, but it's going to be at the Moravian Church parking lot, and it's going to be curbside. We drive in from the gift store side, drive around the edge, and pick up the food in front of the church. But again, we don't have it going yet, and we don't know if we will. And if we will, I'll try to do my best to get the word out and have people also put it on Facebook. So, but my main reason for calling right now is to let you know that I'm really, really concerned about this census. They upped the deadline to the end of September. I still haven't heard a good reason why they did that. And that's the reality we're dealing with. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Thank you for being a tireless advocate for this community and our citizens. Is there anybody else online that would like to be on the list for people to be heard? Anybody else online? Going once? Mr. Springer, have you joined us? Okay, going twice. And we are shutting the portion of people to be heard. And we'll move on to item number five, excuse me, which is the approval of the consent agenda and regular agenda. I would like to hear a motion to do such.
Don't move. This is Councillor Leary.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. Can I have a second, please?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen. Discussion.
Mayor Barr, this is Michelle.
Yes, Ms. DeWitt.
May I remove item 10.6, which is IM 20-13, City of Bethel Organization Retreat Priorities, from the consent agenda, please?
Yes, ma'am. It is now removed from the consent agenda. Any other changes to the consent agenda and regular agenda?
Mr. Mayor, could I pull 10.3 for discussion? Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. 10.3, Action Memorandum 20-46. Any other changes? Any of the other council members would like to see, or any of the same council members that would like to see changes, further changes with the agenda or consent agenda? If not, all those in favor of approving the consent agenda and regular agenda as stated, indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed, say nay. Motion carries by those council members present, and we'll move on to item six, which is approval of meeting minutes. Item 6.1, 9/8/2020, regular city council meeting passed on the consent agenda. And we'll move on to reports of standing committees. Item 7.1, which is the committee, commission, board agendas and draft meeting minutes. And I'll just go right down the line for our council member reports. We'll move on to the Port Commission with Mr. Diamond.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. I have to relay again that there continues to be no quorum on the Port Commission, so thus no meeting. I believe that we only need one more citizen member for us to have quorum, because when I initially got on, we had a quorum, so we had two meetings, the first ones I had in a year at least, I think. So there has not been one, but of course the port's in good hands, and I just may sign up next month myself to get on it. Then we'll have a quorum, I think.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. And we'll move on over to the Planning Commission, which is Vice Mayor Hansen.
Hi there. So we had our last meeting on September 10th, and our next meeting will be October 15th at 6:30 p.m. And I just wanted to say that the only thing on the agenda for September was to discuss the Planning Commission reviewing and prioritizing hazard and nuisance properties for municipal action. And basically it was a discussion item to see if Planning Commission was on board, because Ted, the city planner, is very enthusiastic about it, and so are the commission members in getting this list going. And one of the things we discussed was, you know, how do you determine what properties make the list? And there was some, not debate, but rather some concern whether we actually have a building inspector in town that could determine if a building was deemed a hazard or a nuisance or that. And so the focus is going to be in creating this list is having the fire department and emergency services looking at buildings and determining if it's a fire hazard, for example. And then that would automatically make the list, because that would be somebody who's qualified to determine that. And so I know Ted is working on that and is working with the fire department in getting that collaboration going. So I haven't seen the agenda for March for October yet,
but it will be October 13th. Thank you.
Yeah, my fighter jets are circling Bethel. Means we're lucky. So thank you, Ms. Hansen. Ms. Strickler.
I wonder if we could pause the meeting just for a moment. I just realized that I gave Councilmember Springer and one other participant the wrong call-in information for this evening's meeting. So I just sent them the invitation for this Zoom meeting, and they should be connecting shortly. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Strickler. And it looks like Annie Cochran is also in the waiting room. I just got a text message.
Yeah, what's up with the fighter jets? I hear those.
Yeah, apparently there's some F-22s around Bethel. Who else did we have on people to be heard, Lori? So we have council member Springer and Annie Cochran. If I can inquire of John Cochran, he says that Springer is in a waiting room. Mr. Cochran, do you see Mr. Springer in the waiting room on Zoom?
I can't see it. I think they were in that a different waiting room. I think they were on that wrong link that Lori had mistakenly sent out. I think she's sending them the correct link now.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Cochran. And Lori's nodding her head. She is sending the correct link to them. Yeah, you can still hear them flying around. No, they were telling me about a whole different scenario. Would have been nice if we got notice that they were going to be around. So, Ms. Strickler, do we need to suspend the rules to go back to people to be heard because we missed out on Ms. Cochran?
So that's possible. I know that Henry Hunter was initially interested in participating. I was surprised to see that he was not listed as a member of people to be heard. So he might be one of the individuals that was stuck in the other waiting room. And for that, I'm incredibly sorry. Yep, I just pulled the wrong
Yeah, Mr.
Link.
Mayor, that's correct. Yeah, Henry should be connecting up now.
Thank you, Councilmember Springer.
Yeah.
And Annie Cochran was on the waiting room too. She's now here. Can I get a motion to suspend the rules so that we can go back to people to be heard?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I move to suspend the rules to return to people to be heard on the agenda to hear Ms. Cochran and Mr. Hunter.
Second.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. And Ms. Leary, was that you?
I think me and Hugh tied, so whoever you want to take.
Okay. Okay. Discussion, just giving it an opportunity for those people that did not have the correct Zoom sign-in information to go on people to be heard. So always in favor of suspending the rules to hear from those people, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
So we're going to go with Ms. Cochran first. Annie, if you can state your name, spell your name, and you'll have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you so much, Mayor. Yes, Annie Cochran, A-N-N-Y-C C-O-C-H-R-A-N-E. Thank you, council members, for the opportunity to speak. We were in the wrong Zoom room. It was nice and quiet in the other room, though. I just wanted to go ahead and speak about the transfer for the property that would be used for Winter House. I think it's really important that we realize that having Winter House operate this space actually does save this community money. We know that there's a reduction in costs with reduced police calls, reduced CSP calls, reduced emergency services. And I think that there's a little bit of confusion sometimes when we talk about individuals who are experiencing homelessness. Sometimes homelessness may only be one night out of the year. We've had individuals who were actively participating in high school stay at the shelter. We've had expecting moms. We've had individuals who were just stuck as they were transitioning through Bethel. And then we've had individuals who identified that their family wasn't a safe place for the night and they just wanted a safe place to sleep. And I think that when we look at providing a safe place to sleep, we're also really contributing back to our economy, because once we remove that barrier of that lack of the housing, it allows them to have the opportunity to work. And at the Winter House last season, we had more than 25 people successful at obtaining employment and contributing positively back to the community of Bethel. And so I just wanted to go ahead and highlight those basic facts. And thank you so much for taking the time tonight.
Thank you, Ms. Cochran. It looks like you're outside, and I hope you're enjoying the show of the fighter jets around town.
It's super exciting, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. So next on the list for people to be heard is Mr. Henry Hunter Sr. Henry, if I can get you to spell your name, state your name, and you'll have 5 minutes, sir. Henry, can you hear me?
He might be muted.
Do you have an unknown number that you don't recognize? Okay.
Yeah, it would be 545-1110 if he's on there. I texted him the Zoom link, and hopefully he's able to connect up there. Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I've got to get back to him. If we can get him in, I'd be happy to suspend the rules again at some point when he gets back in, because I think he's got something important that he'd like to say to the council.
That would be fine, Mr. Springer. Once you do, please inform us.
I sure will. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And we're going to go back to our regular agenda, which is we're up to the, we just heard from Ms. Hansen with the stuff that she's doing with the Planning Commission about the hazard and nuisance actions that I'm excited about. The next item is the Community Action Grant Technical Review Board. We haven't had a meeting. We were supposed to have a meeting September 1st and September 9th. I know our recorder, John Sargent, has been in the finance department for a while now, and I know that he is very, very busy, but I'd like to see that we reschedule those meetings ASAP, and I know that we do have one applicant for that. We're supposed to review the CAG applicant tonight, and I apologize to the applicant for that not being done. The next opening for the CAG grant will be on October the 14th, and the deadline for the application is November 13th. So community members, nonprofits, if you are willing to and wanting to apply for a CAG grant, those are the periods of time that it is open. Again, October 14th, application deadline is November 13th. And having said that, we'll move on over to the Parks, Recreation, Aquatic Health and Safety Center Committee. Councilmember DeWitt.
Thank you, Mayor Barr. Okay, we had our meeting for September, and a couple of highlights. One, there's a recommendation to council to make a change to the proposed sugar sweetened beverage excise or tax ordinance. And so that'll be moving forward for council to look at here in the near future. Second, parks names. We've identified the parks thanks to the city clerk and other members of the city team. They've identified which parks don't have names. And so the committee talked about methods of which to name them, including some polling and voting. So that those ideas will be going forward to the city clerk's office soon. Then the two bigger things, one is the committee was supportive of city council appropriating some funds for feasibility and some concept design and cost estimation work of what would be a phase two community gym project. And that is in the packet tonight. We'll be talking about that later. And then finally, the committee is very interested in looking at opportunities to contract out recreational services. You know, the conversation was how to bring back a parks and rec department, really. But we think there may be a sort of a different way to manage the activities that such a department would do. And one would be to perhaps contract out with an entity to provide some of the recreational services that the community's been missing since the disbanding of that department. Keep in mind, we've since gained the YK Fitness Center, which is amazing, but some of those outdoor rec services have sort of, there isn't a person to really do those anymore. And then second, there was sort of an idea discussed that is still being contemplated about instead of a separate department that would have its own maintenance department, seeing if we could carve out within Public Works a division sort of like property maintenance or hauled services or others that was specifically focusing on parks and cemeteries. Most of the community probably noticed, I certainly have, that the parks received minimal maintenance this summer while property maintenance focused on other areas of need, such as the decking at the Public Works and the ramp to the Public Works building. Obviously that was a high need, but we didn't get much work at all done at our parks around town. So those are the things that were discussed, and there'll be more headed to council. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. And we'll move on over to the Finance Committee, which is Councilmember CC Franco. Ms. Franco.
Thank you, Mayor Barr. We have our regularly scheduled Finance Committee meeting next Monday. I believe the time is at 6:30 p.m. We haven't met in a few months, so I'm looking forward to this meeting. We do have a few items on the agenda. I haven't seen the finalized agenda, but I do believe we'll be discussing some of the collection issues with the water and sewage department and the deficit with that. Just want to let everyone know that I believe a few of the members of the committee have moved away or will be moving away in the near future. So there's definitely a few openings on that committee. So if anyone is interested in the public, please do reach out to the city clerk's office, or I believe you can even apply online. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Franco. And moving on down to the Public Works Committee, Councilmember Leary.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. So we had a pretty good meeting last month, or sorry, it was this month, just last week. Ted Myers joined us from the Planning Department to provide an update on his department's work in code enforcement efforts. Unfortunately, planning, just with only being two employees, they have not had a ton of time and energy to put into code enforcement. So I appreciated Ted joining us again and being honest with us on what their capabilities are. I understand that you can't just pile more work on and expect it to be done when there's only so much time in the day. So code enforcement is something that Public Works is still very interested in. We will be discussing that more, I believe, at the next meeting. We also talked about the water sewer deficit. Acting Finance Director John Sargent joined us to provide us with kind of a general overview of the deficit. The entire amount of, I think that day, he said it was at about $650,000. That entire amount is not due to the COVID program this spring, where the city was allowing people to continue having water and sewer service without being shut off and without being penalized, without extra fees. So it is not, this deficit is not entirely due to that program. There are a number of contributing factors. It's not as simple as it was initially being discussed with council, in my opinion. Many overdue customers are business accounts, and there are many are also due to residential customers moving out of town and leaving their debt behind. And then also in that topic, the city has been working with ONC to issue water and sewer vouchers to delinquent customers. So I look forward to hearing more about that program or that partnership. And thank you to ONC. Let's see. And then the dead car pickup program. And I'm so sorry, that is not the official name of what that was. But but the dead car pickup program that the city was offering for the last few months is coming to an end soon. And we should be seeing a report on the number of vehicles that the city assisted with disposal for. So I'm looking forward to that, to see how many people took advantage of that program. And lastly, our next meeting is October 22nd at 5:30. We do have enough people to have, we have 5 members now, but there are still open seats if anyone is interested. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. And last but not least, the Public Safety and Transportation Commission, and that would be a member of that would be Council Member Springer. Mr. Springer.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Mayor. I have to apologize. I am not sure if we had a meeting. Maybe it's tomorrow. I'm not positive. I apologize for that. But if there's anybody there that's on the council, it's on the Public Safety Commission, I'm sure we can get a report from them. I'm still trying to get Mr. Hunter connected up in here. So
thank you, Mr. Springer. I was reading some of the notes in our packet, and they did meet So, great work, everybody, on the commissions. And I would say that I would like to see some forward movement on the nuisance vehicles, not necessarily the dead vehicles, but maybe the nuisance vehicles, with some code enforcement. I know that from being a resident in this community, you see them around town, and you wish they wouldn't be out there as eyesores. But good work on the community, Jim, Ms. DeWitt, going forward with that. And thank you, everybody, for all the work that you guys do for this committee or your committees. So moving on to the special order of business, it is item number 8. We have nothing there. Item number 9 is unfinished business. Item 9.1 is the public hearing of Ordinance 2030, authorizing the sale of the land and building located at 121 Atsuk Way to the Bethel Winter House. And this was brought forth by Acting City Manager Ms. Strickler. And I'll open this up to public hearing. Is there anyone online that would like to testify at this public hearing?
John Cochran for Bethel Winter House.
Thank you, Mr. Cochran. The floor recognizes Mr. Cochran. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And one of the things I noticed from the committee reports is the city working diligently to try to address some of the issues with these nuisance properties. The Bethel Winter House would be happy to take the largest nuisance property in Bethel off of your hands, and hopefully turn this into a facility that will be useful and will be a benefit to the entire community. We started our discussions with the city a few months ago, and administration has been very supportive. We've always had really good support from the city of Bethel, both from law enforcement, emergency responders, down to city managers, down to extra utilities when they've been needed. And all of that has contributed to a drastic reduction in the number of weather-related fatalities in Bethel during the winter, the number of deaths due to exposure, and really has allowed us to continue to provide more and more services year after year and given us the hope at this point, now that some funding has become available through various sources, that we can actually turn this building into a full-time useful facility. One of the nice things about this for the city of Bethel is the fact that, former police officer Amy Davis could speak to this very well, were she here. When we are opened, police calls go down, EMS calls go down, visits to the emergency room go down. Having us available saves the city a lot of money. It also provides those much needed services for these individuals that have no place else to go. So we are looking forward to being able to answer any questions that you guys might have, and to be able to move forward and provide these services on a permanent basis.
Thank you, Mr. Cochran. Is there anyone else online that would like to speak to this during this public hearing? Anyone else? Hearing none, I'm going to close the public hearing and entertain it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, excuse me, Mr. Mayor, would now be a time, the proper time for me to ask Mr. Cochran a question or two, or do we need to wait till it's been introduced?
Let's wait until it gets introduced so we can open it up for discussion. So entertaining a motion to adopt ordinance 20-30.
So move for discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. Do I have a second?
A second.
Second, Ms. O'Leary. So it's now open for discussion. Mr. Diamond?
Yeah, great. Thank you. Mr. Cochran, so I looked at, and I have to apologize. I didn't look at the purchase and sale agreement closely until a member of the press asked me a question. And I was a bit embarrassed that I didn't know the answer to the question. But I thank the Delta Discovery for keeping me on my toes. And so then I did look at it pretty closely. And it's my understanding that what you're seeking is both the land, the surface estate, and the buildings. Is that correct? The land and the buildings?
That is correct. There's a good reason behind that, in that as a nonprofit, it's very difficult to obtain operational funding if you don't have what's called full site control.
Right.
So if you don't have control over both the building and the property under the building. Now, keep in mind also that we would have to maintain a functioning program per our side of the agreement. And should we ever fail to do that, the property with all improvements would revert back to the city of Bethel.
Right. And I've seen that over the years. I've seen the city of Bethel approach it two ways, sometimes by conveying the property and the buildings, of course, to another party. I've seen also, like, for instance, the bowling alley is an example where the city retains ownership of the land, but we lease it to them for $1 a year, let's say. But I understand your need to actually have title to the property. But when I look at the So, but then what's important to me is the reverter. If ever in the future, the Winter House ceases to operate the way it was intended to, that it revert back to the community, because the city of Bethel actually is limited in terms of how much land it has. And so, and this has been, this has come up many times in the past. But I've noticed that if you look on item number 8 in the sales agreement, the conditional reverter, what it says is that the buildings shall revert to the city in the event they're not being used to provide a necessary public service. And so when I thought that caught my eye, because what's essential is if the council, yes, agrees that we're going to sell land, which is owned by the community, to you for a dollar, it's important to me that if at ever in the future, of course, the Winter House isn't operating, that it return back to the community to use for another purpose. So that does seem to be a problem in the sales agreement.
I would agree with you 100% on that. That is something that I did not catch, nor was it the intent of the agreement. The agreement was put together actually by administration with the assistance of the city attorney. But that is an update to the agreement that we would welcome and be happy to sign off.
Okay, and I thought you would. And like I said, I'm a little embarrassed because I only started communicating with the city clerk and the city attorney today about that issue, and I should have caught it 2 weeks ago. But in any event, it's done.
Thank you.
So that, yeah, and that's something we're going to have to take care of. But that is important to me, and people who speak to me and have spoken to me many times over the years about the land situation in Bethel. And I've seen, and I'm not suggesting this is going to happen to you, but I have seen nonprofits and organizations cease to exist over time. As you know, the people who were most motivated and heavily involved moved away or something happened. You know, we used to have something called the Boys Group Home down near where the senior center is, which doesn't operate anymore. So it does happen. And it is important to me that we have language that it can revert back to the city. But so I guess my next question would actually be for the city attorney. If Mr. Barr, if you want to let me ask another question, or if you want to mix this up a little bit, I can ask her that question later.
Mr. Diamond, we're in discussion. I believe you would be welcome to talk to Ms. McElar.
Okay. So super, Libby, you can hear me okay?
Yes, I can, Councilmember Diamond.
So have you been able to, so I'm really familiar with how we can have a reverter clause when we leased property, and I've participated in creating that in the past. Do you have any more information about?
The draft agreement that's associated with this ordinance that's been floating around was, of course, you know, not going to be finalized. You know, it was going to be looked at obviously carefully before it's a draft. And I believe the ordinance authorizes us to do the agreement. This draft was based off of a prior transaction of a similar nature that occurred with just buildings. The last time I think the senior center changed hands, it was maybe just the buildings that were either leased or sold and not the land, which is why it's set up that way. But we can easily set it up differently. And my intention is to actually run this past our outside counsel as well, because these things with title can get a little bit complicated, and I want to do my due diligence and make sure that conditional reverter is adequate for reverting title back to the city should the property cease to be used for the public purpose for which it's intended under the code. I think we can just simply add, you know, we can redraft or reframe the agreement a bit to define the property differently and to reference the property and title to the land in the reverter clause. We can make that clear. But I do intend to run this past somebody with more experience in real estate transactions like this, municipal real estate transactions, because they can get a little bit tricky, just to make sure that everything is as the council wants it to be.
Sure. I've never, and so personally, I'm supportive of this for the reasons that John ably explained to all of us, and other reasons too. I've had students and people I know who have needed to spend the night at various times in the shelter. So I'm supportive of it, but I'm also supportive of the fact of the community retaining control of the property if it's not being used the way we expect it to be, if it's not being used for a public good, you know, since we're not assessing it for value and stuff like that. So I would really want that. It does, I don't know, I have no idea. I know how well a reverter works when it's leased property, but it does seem, I don't have the information if it's risky. Does a reverter work if you're talking about property which is someone else now has title to?
I'm going to double check the answer to that question because I'm not confident of that. However, I do think it can, the conditional reverter can include a reversion of title as well. It's just a matter of how the contract is drafted. And it's just, you know, basic contractual principles. I don't think there's anything that precludes a reversion of title in the reverter clause. But again, I'm going to run that past someone who's got more specifically municipal real estate transactional experience to ensure that that's accurate.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Hunter?
Yeah, I finally got on.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor,
thank you, Mr. Hunter.
To let Mr. Hunter be people to be heard.
Thank you, Mr. Hunter. Hold on just a second. Motion by Mr. Springer to suspend the rules to allow Mr. Hunter to be on people to be heard. Do I have a second?
I second that.
Thank you, Ms. Franco. All those in favor of suspending the rules to hear from Henry Hunter Sr. indicate by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. Mr. Hunter, welcome to our city council meeting.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor and councilmen and councilperson for giving me the opportunity to address you. I listened to a little bit of the discussion with your lawyer and some of the council members on the lease agreement. One of the things that I and the council of ONC, Woodsomic Native Council, which I'm the chairman of, would like to know if the city of Bethel would be willing to sell all that land underneath the multipurpose building. As you know, I think it was about 35 years ago or 30 years ago, the city of Bethel and ONC signed an agreement for $1 each lease for that building to be used by the public. And it was signed by then Mayor Marge Payton and Chairman of ONC, Edward Hoffman Sr. And it was constructed to be a bowling alley. And the city and ONC agreed in the lease that it would be used as a bowling alley and also a recreation facility. As you probably know over the years, that bowling alley didn't really pan out. You know, there weren't that many people who went out and bowled, so we were losing money on that facility, just like with the senior center that the city had up in housing. So we decided that we would use it as a recreation facility for the people at Bethel. And that's what we used it for. And not only just for recreation, but, you know, for meeting places, for different organizations within the community of Bethel, and also weddings and also for our programs. One of the our program that we ran was a healthy family program where, and we used that facility to run that healthy family program where families who were in need of help to get back into from alcoholism and suicide and those kind of things. And that's what we did. And so I know that the city owns that land underneath there. And we've been a very good partnership over the years with the city of Bethel. When the city of Bethel was running a senior center up in housing, the second row there, ONC donated $20,000 a month to the city of Bethel to run, to help offset the cost of running the senior center. And we also put, we also applied for a grant of $600,000 to fix the foundation of the senior center. So over the years, you know, we put over a million, we donated over $1 million to the city for the senior center. So we do have a good partnership with the city of Bethel. And, you know, there was concerns that if the city of Bethel decides to sell that building, I mean, the land underneath it to ONC, that we would restrict use of that land for the public. We won't be. The other thing is I think that's about it. Other than if you have any questions or anything like that, I'd be happy to try and answer them. But, you know, I am asking again, you know, on behalf of Owen Council to have the city possibly have ONC purchase that land underneath that multi-purpose building. So thank you, Mr. Mayor and the council, for allowing me to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Hunter. And just for the record, could you just state your name and spell your name for the record?
Okay, Henry Hunter Sr.
And spell it for me, Henry.
H-E-N-R-Y, Hunter, H-U-N-T-E-R, Sr., S-R.
Thank you, sir. And it's an interesting proposal. I think that if you are, yeah, it's a topic of conversation that I believe we can move forward in the future. But this is for the time for people to be heard. This is not a time for questions and answers. So we'll move forward with our meeting.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're back to the topic of item 9.1, which is the public hearing of Ordinance 2020, authorizing the sale of the land and building located at 121 Atsec Way to the Bethel Winter House. And we had just, I don't know if I closed the public hearing or is the public hearing still open? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. There was going to be an amendment to the motion. Mr. Diamond? Would you like to propose a motion to the, or amendment to the motion?